Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports right here, coming to you live on the campus of Michigan State University inside of Studio S at the Communication Arts and Sciences College. Right here on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. Current sports is coming right in your ear with another hot 60 minutes. We've got a lot to get to. A lot to get to on today's current sports. And that lineup includes another negative story as it pertains to Michigan State. Yeah. And this one has really nothing to do with now, you can relate it to maybe the Larry Nassar situation and relate it to the culture that is being criticized here at Michigan State University. But this one involves a former volleyball trainer. Saw this report from the Lansing State Journal, and it is just another day, another negative headline. So I will just briefly touch on that. And I'm not going to go too in-depth on that report. I'm just going to lay out the facts and keep it pushing there. We will talk about the Michigan State men's basketball class, incoming class of 2018, that has been ranked 14th nationally when you evaluate where Michigan State hits on the three big recruiting services. And I'll give some thoughts on what Tom Izzo's team will look like next year, who needs to step up, and what should the expectations be for Tom Izzo's team next season. We will touch on the NFL draft, seeing as though we are now just 2 days away. Can you believe that? 2 days away from the NFL draft that will last throughout the weekend, beginning on Thursday. There are many exciting names, at least when you look at the upper echelon of the first round. A lot of intriguing names and a lot of players already being pegged as superstars or stars before they even take a down in the NFL. And I want to highlight two players today. Now, as you guys know, we will have our current sports NFL mock draft come Thursday. So I won't go into depth as to where I believe certain players will go. However, I do want to highlight and profile two players that I have, in the last 24 hours, I've read about and gotten to know better. And I think they are intriguing on a lot of levels. And I do believe that these two players have a bright NFL future. So we'll talk about that. And then on the back end of the show, we will have a surprise guest for you all that will help me talk NBA playoffs action. Not going to tell you who that guest is. You got to stick around and find out who it is. Let's just say he's pretty familiar with what we do here at Current Sports. You don't want to miss that and so much more. If you would like to be a part of this hour, you know how you can do so. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. We have the live stream up and running there. You can comment below that video, and I'll do my best to get to your comments throughout this hour. And also, you can go on Twitter and join the convo there as well. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Michigan State University already reeling from the scandal involving Larry Nassar has maintained ties to a prominent volleyball coach for decades, according to a report. After he was publicly accused in 1995 of sexually abusing and raping six underage girls he trained in the 1980s, letters obtained by the Associated Press from advocates for the accusers reveal the school has been under pressure for at least a year to sever its relationship with Rick Butler. He runs training facilities in the Chicago suburb of Aurora that for decades have been a pipeline for top volleyball recruits, including Michigan State. MSU also held exhibition games for successive years at his facilities, at least through 2014, according to online records. Butler's accusers say Butler threatened to use his national influence to thwart their college prospects if they didn't accept his advances. That is the latest negative story coming out of Michigan State University. I'll have more details on that story in just a moment. And speaking of negative headlines, as it pertains to Michigan State University, Olympic gymnast Michaela Maroney says she reported the sexual abuse of former Michigan State University team doctor and former USA Gymnastics team doctor Larry Nassar to her coach, John Gettert, in 2011, but no action was taken. Quote, "I was in the car driving back to the hotel, and I even said out loud last night that Larry was bleeping me." Maroney told this to NBC Today co-host Savannah Guthrie in a Sunday night segment of Dateline. Maroney said she reported the abuse while she and her teammates were at the Gymnastics World Championships out in Tokyo. Gettert and a few of Maroney's teammates, including gymnast and Nassar abuse survivor Allie Raisman, were in the car the night she spoke up. Maroney, who was 15 at the time, said Gettert didn't say anything in response while others in the car gasped loudly. Raisman told Dateline that Maroney basically, quote, basically described in graphic detail what Nassar had done to her the night before, end quote. Two other people in the car that night corroborated Maroney's story to Dateline. Gettert worked in the gymnastics world for decades before he was suspended by USA Gymnastics in January in light of the allegations against Nassar, with whom the coach was reportedly very close to. Gettert quickly resigned after being suspended and is under criminal investigation. All right, prosecutors have offered a plea deal to a former University of Michigan football staffer accused of super drunken driving, resisting police, and attempting to bite a lab technician in a March 5th debacle in downtown Ann Arbor. Fergus Connolly, 40 years old, was offered a chance to cut the 9 misdemeanor charges against him down to 5 when he appeared Monday for a pretrial in front of Ann Arbor's 15th District Court Judge Karen Quinlan Valvo. Connolly spent the last 2 seasons as Michigan football's team director of performance and added the role of football operations director to his title back in 2017. He resigned last month. He currently faces one count of operating with blood alcohol content of 0.17 or more, known as the state's super drunk law. Two counts of assault, three counts of attempted assaulting, resisting, or obstructing a police officer, failure to stop or identify after a property damage incident, failure to display a valid license, and disorderly conduct. All right, after all of those negative headlines, let's talk some sports. In Michigan State baseball, MSU baseball will play its first and only five-game week of the 2018 season, opening today at Comerica Park in Detroit, home of the Detroit Tigers, against Eastern Michigan University in the Spartans' annual clash at Comerica. First pitch is slated for 6:35 p.m. Today is Michigan State's 10th game played at Comerica and the second against EMU, winning 3-2 in 2016. MSU has a quick turnaround, returning home to host Toledo on Wednesday at McLane Stadium at Copps Field. The Spartans have won their last four games and eight of their last 10, coming off a three-game weekend sweep at Northwestern for MSU's first back-to-back Big Ten sweeps since 2011. MSU has won its last six conference games for the first time also since 2011, which was the last time that the Spartans won the Big Ten title. In MSU softball, MSU opens up a six-game homestand over 9 days, welcoming fans to Sekia Stadium after a two-week stretch of seven road games. The homestand begins with a home game today, versus intrastate rival, you guessed it, Eastern Michigan. So both the MSU baseball and softball teams playing EMU today, followed by a Wednesday contest against Central Michigan. Michigan State enters the week with a 16-24 overall record, dropping three games last weekend at Ohio State. MSU now stands at 4-11 in the Big Ten, needing to capture some wins over the final two weekends to solidify its spot in the upcoming Big Ten tournament. Well, you guys all know the Malice at the Palace, right? Situation that occurred during a Detroit Pistons and Indiana Pacers basketball game in which a beverage of some sort was thrown at Ron Artest after he laid on the scorer's table. That enticed Ron Artest, now known as Metal World Peace, to run into the stands. And that began one of the most memorable brawls at a sporting event in sports history. Well, Ron Artest, or Metal World Peace, actually has a book coming out that details a few incidents in his career and talks about his time as a basketball player. He's got a book coming out, and he recently sat down with NBA reporter and broadcaster Chris Broussard for Fox Sports. And he basically shines some light on to what exactly happened at the Malice at the Palace. Ian Hawley, current sports engineer, we have that bite queued up. Here we go.
So with the brawl, one of the things was the bet. A lot of people don't know about the bet. And when the guy raised his hand, when I got hit with the cup, I ran into the stands. Because that's the only person I saw. I'm like, you definitely hit me. It could have been something totally different, but I was 100% sure that that was the guy that hit me.
If you didn't know who hit you, you think you wouldn't have went up there?
If I didn't know who hit me, I probably would have been like going crazy, like, who did it?
Okay.
But I'm like, that got to be him. There's no other reason for anybody to be raising their hand. But he wasn't the one that hit me. It was the other guy that hit me that was next to him. Well, the reason he raised his hand was because he bet John Green, who hit me with the cup, $50 that they could hit me.
Wow.
See what I'm saying?
Wow.
So when John hit me, the guy that raised his hand lost the bet. He was like, oh, you did it.
Yeah.
I owe you $50.
Yeah. What a moment that was in NBA history, right? All for $50, if you believe Metal World Peace. Crazy stuff. Again, that incident occurred. The Malice at the Palace occurred between the Indiana Pacers and the Detroit Pistons at the Palace of Auburn Hills back on November 19th of 2004. All right, the Detroit Tigers have an off day before they start a series today against the Pittsburgh Pirates. First up, the team cut Drew Verhagen yesterday. Verhagen had a rocky outing against the Royals. In nine outings, Verhagen has posted a 6.30 ERA and is 0-1. As it seems, to be the case every year. The bullpen is still a work in progress for the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers designated Verhagen for assignment, and Wilson gave up a grand slam in the loss on Sunday. The Tigers have made a roster move ahead of the series in Pittsburgh today, recalling outfield prospect Mike Gerber from AAA Toledo. First pitch scheduled for 7.05 p.m. from Pittsburgh. And Jenny Kavnar is no stranger to the game of baseball. She's been working in the MLB for 12 years, and on Monday night, she became the first woman since 1993 to do play-by-play on a big league telecast. Kavnar's matchup on Monday night was special. One close to home. The Rockies hosted the Padres, the two MLB teams that she had worked for. Her usual role is doing the Rockies pre- and post-game shows on TV, and she is filled in doing color commentary on TV and radio. Prior to joining the Rockies crew in 2012, she spent 4 years as a reporter for the Padres. She joins a prestigious group of women that includes Gail Gardner. Gardner was the first female play-by-play announcer on a telecast for a major league team when she called a Rockies-Reds game back in 1993. Also, Susan Waldman does occasional play-by-play for the New York Yankees on the radio. And Jessica Mendoza joined the ESPN team for color commentary during Sunday Night Football. Very cool stuff. Love to see the strong women out there in the world of sports broadcasting pushing the envelope and breaking down walls and barriers. Congratulations to Jenny Kavnar. Very cool stuff there. All right, and also an NBA and NHL playoffs update. The Cleveland Cavaliers, as we all know, that series is tied with the Indiana Pacers and it took place over the weekend. We'll be talking about, I want to focus a lot on the Cavs today on the back end of the show as we have that special guest to break down the NBA. But yesterday's games, we saw the Houston Rockets top the Minnesota Timberwolves 119-100. Houston leads that series 3-1. Also, the Utah Jazz top the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is a shocking series as Utah now leads the series 3-1. It was a 113-96 final last night. Can you believe that? And tonight you can catch a series that is tied between the Milwaukee Bucks and Boston Celtics. That will be at Boston starting at 7 p.m. Game 5. Also, two more Game 5s taking place as Philadelphia leads the Miami Heat 3-1. Heat at Philly tonight at 8 p.m. And the San Antonio Spurs will be on the road at Oracle Arena taking on the Golden State Warriors. That will be a 10:30 p.m. tip time. Golden State can close out that series tonight as well, as Golden State has a 3-1 series lead. Yesterday we saw the Bruins fall to the Toronto Maple Leafs 3-1. That series is tied at 3-apiece. And the Washington Capitals, just when I thought they were cursed, right, they at least get out of this series against the Columbus Blue Jackets. 6-3, the final last night. Washington wins 4-2. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
Crowder had something to say. He didn't know Adams was there. I don't know about that, Bird, but that's when it drew the attention of everybody else. That elbow right into the face of Steven Adams. And he might have been trying to wipe away Carmelo Anthony, and Adams was behind the play.
That's what I saw from this angle. Spooner has just passed along the message, and Crowder has been tossed.
Westbrook with the common foul, and you nailed it, Ian. And I worried about it right away. Crowder with the elbow ejected on the one technical foul.
Oh, what a chippy game that was last night. If you are just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, welcome to the fun. I am your host, Al Martin. Oklahoma City is right now in full desperation mode. I don't think anybody predicted this kind of outcome so far in this OKC and Utah Jazz series. And it was heated. It was heated. You just heard a moment, I should say, that occurred during that game that involved, you know, Carmelo Anthony. And also leading up to the game, too. I mean, you guys heard the comments from Russell Westbrook, right? Basically calling out Ricky Rubio and guaranteeing that he was going to shut down Ricky Rubio. That didn't happen. And the Utah Jazz handled business, a 113-96 final to take a 3-1 series lead. But yeah, Jay Crowder gets into it with Carmelo Anthony, inadvertently elbows Steven Adams, which gets him ejected from the game. Just a chippy series. And I think right now, OKC, I don't see how they can come back from being three games, with this series being 3-1 now. I don't see how they can come back, force a game seven, and pull this thing out. Is it possible? Yeah, because it's sports. Anything is possible in the world of sports. But with the way that the Utah Jazz is playing right now, in combination with how Oklahoma City is struggling offensively, specifically, I don't see how they can win that series. That is one of the most intriguing first-round series that we have seen thus far. And Donovan Mitchell, a man who every time I watch him dunk or nail a jump shot or do something spectacular on the hardwood, I just sit there and say, gosh, dang it, he should be wearing a Detroit Pistons jersey. He had 33 points last night. 33 points for Donovan Mitchell. It's becoming routine now. He is becoming one of the league's young superstars. He is going to be good for quite some time. It is fun to watch him play. Knock on wood, hopefully he doesn't get injured. But he's young. He's fun to watch. And just a good dude, too. A high character player as well. But, yeah, Donovan Mitchell, he led the team with 33 points last night. And Ricky Rubio had 13 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. Hey, Russ, I don't think that's shutting down a player. We'll have plenty more of NBA chatter with the special guest on the back end of the show. I got a few more points to make. Also, an interesting story concerning social media and Russell Westbrook's former teammate, Kevin Durant. Sounds familiar, right? Sounds familiar. Kevin Durant is a master at trolling. I don't even know if I would call him a master, though, because, you know, if you're going to troll, you got to be kind of clever with it. Kevin Durant just has not been very clever when it comes to trolling on social media. And there's the latest story concerning social media and Kevin Durant is a comical one, to say the least. And he was asked about it, and he said there's basically no story here, but I really do think there is. So I'll get to that later on in the hour. But as promised, I do want to just lay out the facts when it comes to the latest negative headline coming out of the camp of Michigan State University. I saw this around 9 a.m. this morning. It was actually published 9:01 a.m. this morning by the Associated Press. I saw it posted on the Lansing State Journal sports page. The headline reads, Michigan State kept ties to volleyball trainer accused of sexual abuse. It reads, Michigan State University, already reeling from the scandal involving a gymnastics doctor who molested young athletes, that being Larry Nassar, has maintained ties to a prominent volleyball coach for decades after he was publicly accused in 1995 of sexually abusing and raping six underage girls he trained in the 1980s. Letters obtained by the Associated Press from advocates for the accusers reveal the school has been under pressure for at least a year to sever its relationship with Rick Butler. He runs training facilities in suburban Chicago that for decades have been a pipeline for top volleyball recruits, including Michigan State. MSU also held exhibition games for successive years at his facilities, at least through 2014, according to online records. Butler's accusers say Butler threatened to use his national influence to thwart their college prospects if they didn't accept his advances. Questions about ties to Butler add to the scrutiny of Michigan State that began when Dr. Larry Nassar was charged in 2016 with abusing scores of gymnasts over 20 years while he had an office on campus. And it goes on to talk about former Dean William Strample, who was recently charged with failing to protect patients from Nassar and with sexually harassing female students. Goes on to read that Butler, one of the initial accusers, Sarah Powers Barnhart, said Butler molested her hundreds of times over 2 years, starting when she was 16 and he was around 30. She says he raped her at his home, in cars, and even in a train car bathroom as her teammates sat nearby. Powers Barnhart has said that Michigan State has, quote, turned a blind eye, end quote, to Butler's history. That is what is being alleged here, and this is yet another negative headline pertaining to Michigan State University. I don't know about you all, but I'm feeling drained at times as I deliver these headlines week after week here on Current Sports. I'm going to invite you to comment on it if you do have thoughts. I'm not going to elaborate further because I'm just getting fatigued at this point. You know, I'm getting fatigued with having to go on a long rant on how Michigan State continues to shoot itself in the foot, going on long rants on how the MSU alum and the students here at MSU are tired of the failed leadership, the lack of accountability. I'm not going to do it today. Not going to go there today. You can, and I invite you to, without a doubt. You know, many of you, you know, use Current Sports, you know, as your time to vent and express how you feel. You guys already know how I feel. But yet another negative headline that that just doesn't make you feel great about MSU. So from that, as you guys weigh in, I see a few comments on social media at our Facebook page at Facebook.com/WKAR News. I'm going to read a few of those comments later on in the hour, but I do want to talk about Michigan State men's basketball and its 2018 class finishing 14th in the first national recruiting rankings. When you look at these three major recruiting services, 247sports.com, Rivals, and ESPN, they have all released their final rankings for the 2018 basketball class. And when you take the average of those three rankings, Michigan State comes in at number 14. 247 Sports has Michigan State ranked 22nd. Michigan State is 11th on Rivals.com and 12th on ESPN's list. The five Hoosters who are ranked on these recruiting services? Well, they are Marcus Bingham Jr., Aaron Henry, Gabe Brown, Foster Lawyer, and Thomas Kithier. That class right now ranks cumulatively 14th nationally. It's going to be an interesting year for Michigan State because, Ian, I truly believe that Michigan State did blow a golden opportunity last season going out and getting eliminated in the second round of the NCAA tournament, downtown Detroit, basically a home game against Syracuse. You had what is arguably, and I don't even think it's arguable, I think this was, talent-wise, from top to bottom, Michigan State's, well, Tom Izzo's most talented roster. And now we're seeing Miles Bridges, who, by the way, I didn't tell this story on the air. I ran into Miles Bridges and his mom at Blaze Pizza last week or 2 weeks ago. I was going there, you know, being unhealthy one day, and I'm like, you know.
You have a cheat day every now and then.
Yeah, you get a cheat day every now and then. I'm walking into Blaze Pizza, and boom, Miles Bridges with his mom, you know, there just getting some Blaze, enjoying the time, and multiple people coming up and saying, hey, Miles, we're going to miss you, man. Good luck at the NBA. Just Miles is so down to earth, wishing him the best. But Miles Bridges is gone. He's going to the NBA. Nick Ward is flirting with the possibility. He has not hired an agent. And what that allows players to do at the collegiate level, if you do not hire an agent, but you do enter your name into the NBA draft, I believe the deadline is May 30th. Prior to that deadline, you know, if you don't hire an agent, because once you hire an agent, you got to go all in and you got to go to the NBA draft. But if you don't hire an agent, you can say, all right, I tested the waters. I talked to a few NBA scouts and execs and worked out for them. I'm maybe not slated where I want to be. I'm going to return for a year. Who knows what Nick Ward is going to do? If I had to predict what Nick Ward is going to do, I'm kind of leaning towards him coming back now. I don't know. We'll see. So Nick Ward is flirting with the possibility, right? And, you know, you look at this roster next season. You lose Jaren Jackson Jr. He's gone to the NBA. He's going to be a lottery pick for sure. So those are two big names, just in Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson Jr., that are now gone. They're going to be top 15 picks. Jaren, a top 10 pick, top 5 maybe even. Miles, I think, will go anywhere from 10 to 15. So now the responsibility falls on players like a Cassius Winston, like a Josh Langford, right? It falls on those players who will now have been in the program for 3 years to try and lead this team. They're losing a lot of firepower. I just don't know. You know, and again, my eyeball of watching Bingham Jr., Henry, Brown, Lawyer, and Kithier is very limited. I have seen Foster Lawyer. We saw him down at the Breslin not too long ago last month, you know, competing for a state championship. I mean, absolutely fantastic player. I just don't know, you know, what the landscape for the rest of the Big Ten is going to look like for Michigan State. I don't know how quickly these players can mature, and Bingham, Henry, Brown, Lawyer, and Kithier. I would like to see at some point, you know, Winston and Lawyer possibly on the court together, right? That'd be kind of special to watch because they're both fantastic guards who love to facilitate. Cassius can score. His offensive game is really maturing now. He's getting better defensively. And that's one thing that Foster is going to have to really jump in and get, you know, he's going to have to learn quickly that you got to play defense at the college level. I think he's a decent defender, not an off-the-charts defender. Foster is more of a really special offensive talent who has a gift for finding players, kind of like Cassius Winston. And at the core of this team next season, a leader is going to have to emerge. Because if there was one flaw that you can point at for Michigan State men's basketball last year, talent up the woozah, for sure. But there was no clear-cut guy that you could look at who is your leader. And what I mean by that is, sure, you can look at Lou Rawls Tumtum Nairn Jr. He is the heart and soul, the heartbeat of that Michigan State men's basketball program, without a doubt. But I've always said that if you want to take your leadership to another level and really be an effective leader, you got to be a great player as well on the court who is contributing offensively on a game-by-game basis. It helps when you have your best player also as the leader of the team. And that just wasn't the case for Michigan State last year. Miles Bridges is still developing his leadership qualities. Jaren Jackson Jr., he's a young pup. We can't expect him to come in and start demanding, you know. I always say, if you could build a player for Michigan State, if you could just take the talent of a Miles Bridges or a Jaren Jackson Jr., and you throw that into a Lou Ross, Tum-Tum Nairn Jr. leadership quality, if you could build a player for Michigan State, that would be your ideal Michigan State player, a player who is a leader who can also give you buckets and cause you ruckus on both sides of the basketball floor. So who knows what Michigan State is going to look like? I think they'll be decent, but it's too early to tell right now. And again, rankings, take rankings with a huge truckload of salt, because I'm not big on rankings, especially recruiting rankings, when we've only seen these players compete against high school players and high school talent. We'll see what happens when this class enters. What do you think? How good will Michigan State men's basketball be next year, even though we really don't know? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below the live stream and tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I want to highlight just two intriguing players that are on my list to do something really special come when they enter the NFL and when they begin that NFL journey starting this week on Thursday with the NFL draft. That and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. To WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, a reminder that later on this week on Thursday, we will hold our annual Current Sports mock draft. No, we're not going through every single round. That's ridiculous. We'll just go through the first round. I'm not, that'd be radio ratings torture. Our ratings will plummet. I can hear them plummeting if I was to go, if we were to do every single round. I mean, who wants to listen to that, Ian? Yeah, like, come on. That's whack. Wiggity whack, son. We're going to do the first round. And you know, before we get to our callers, I just want to ask you, Ian, real quick, Jason, Dave, I see you guys. Who would you take number one overall? Do you want to save that or do you want to let it out the bag right now?
I'd rather hold my pick for later.
Who is it between? Three players, three names, if you had to throw out.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of good ones out there right now. I'm going to have to do some more research and get back to you on the day of the mock draft.
I'll ask you this way. Do you think it should be a quarterback or a running back or a wide receiver or an offensive tackle?
Based on the teams at the top, it's probably going to be a quarterback. Okay. I don't know, man. Between Rosen and Darnold, it's hard to make the call. I think it just depends on what you're looking for in the long term as far as someone who's more of a runner or someone who's more of just a cannon in the pocket. So It'll be interesting to see which one of those guys goes first, but I think they're going to go number one and two, to be quite honest with you.
Got a point to make about Josh Rosen. Heard him this morning on The Herd with Colin Cowherd. An incredibly mature young man. I'll get to that in just a moment. I also want to make a comment about another intriguing player, maybe the most intriguing player of this year's NFL draft. I'll get to him in just a moment. But I want to go to line one right now, get to a few callers. Jason Fuller, line one, our dear friend. Jason is on. Jason, how are you doing, my man?
No, doing great, my brother. Doing great after his busy last couple days.
Yeah, without a doubt, you were playing, and I'm so mad I missed it, dude. You know, family stuff comes up.
I was, too, because I was looking forward to tackling you in that first game.
Look, I will be there without it. I talked to Todd later on that afternoon, man, and he gave me some positive words of encouragement. Some family stuff came up. But
right, yeah, totally understand that, man.
Definitely.
Know how stuff like that goes on.
Definitely. I guarantee him I'll be there in 2019. And that's my first one, you know, in 5 straight years. So, what's on your mind, though, Jason?
Well, not much. You know, I don't know if you've had anybody come on and talk about what happened on Sunday with the brawl.
We have not. How was the turnout? Who won? All that jazz.
Turnout was great. We had 7 teams out there. There is a new champion because Orange Crush was not there. The Tri-County Crusaders ended up winning the championship this year.
Wow.
The second place team was actually New Breed, which was another football team that's known in the area.
They're a minor league football team, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
They are. So it was good. But, you know, I had a really good time out there this year. I played four games this year. You know, first game, lost to the team you were supposed to be to, lost by 2 points. You know, no big deal. Mm-hmm. And went on and won the next two games. Well, in those next two games, I beat none other than Justin Kane in the first game. And then in the second game, I beat Todd.
How about that, so, man? You got some bragging. You walked away from that field with some bragging rights, Jason.
That I did. You know, 22 touchdowns in four games. It was a pretty good day.
That's a great day. And, you know, also one of our listeners, Ben, has been commenting on our Facebook page since yesterday, and he also sent me a message about the brawl. He was out there competing as well. So.
Yeah, he was out there on my team.
How about that? That's good stuff.
It was a good time. He had a couple nice catches for me, and my kid had a couple nice catches, and, you know, it was great out there. So, but then, you know, the biggest thing was my stuff that I had going on yesterday.
Yeah, you were at the senior tour, right?
I was at the senior PGA Championship sponsored by KitchenAid down there at Harbor Shores in Benton Harbor yesterday.
Amazing. If we should just change bodies, like Freaky Friday, just change bodies for a day, Jason. You are living the life, my man.
And it was a great day down there with Bernard Longer and a PGA Junior League member, Dylan, and then... you know, one guy that a lot of us Spartans really don't care for, but he's actually a pretty good down-to-earth guy to hang out with, none other than Wolverine, great wide receiver, a 9-year NFL vet, Braylon Edwards.
How about that? You got to chat with Braylon, man. How's he doing? What's he up to nowadays?
Braylon actually is working for the Big Ten Network now. He lives down West Bloomfield, but he works for the Big Ten Network out of Chicago doing a lot of stuff. So.
You know what? Now that you mentioned that, I do see him a lot on the Big Ten Network breaking down college football and giving his thoughts and commentary. So that's fantastic stuff. Well, I tell you what.
He is not too bad of a golfer either.
Okay.
He actually, we had the skills challenge out there. Just like I know you've watched The Big Break on the Golf Channel.
Of course. That's one of my favorite shows.
Where they have those panes of glass up there.
Right.
Well, they had a pane of glass for Bernard, which was the senior PGA Championship trophy on it. Then they had the PGA Project Hope, which was for me. They had the PGA Junior League, which was for Dylan. And then they had that ugly block M there for Braylon. And, you know, we got out there, went through the first three rounds. None of the four of us hit anything. They're like, okay, all right, well, go ahead and use three balls this time. Well, I got up there on that first ball. I had my four iron, and I shattered Bernard's glass. Then went over, and I missed Braylon's glass a couple times. And then we went through the rotation a couple more times. We were missing the glass. And then they finally said, okay, go up there, break your own target, whatever. Just rapid fire, get them done. And then whoever's is left standing, that's who wins.
Okay.
And, you know, Braylon ended up winning that. So that was that was pretty good. Then we went to a chipping challenge.
Yeah.
Bernard had to chip over a wall, basically.
Okay.
In front of him and land softly to get it. He was 4'5" away. I was 4'7" away, so I ended up losing that competition. Braylon was a little farther out, and Dylan, the junior, was right in there at 6 inches off the hole.
Wow, amazing!
So he's a pretty good chipper.
That's pretty good.
And then so we went over to the putting green, and I was within 12 inches, so I got like 3 points, 4 points, something like that. And then all said and done, when it all tallied up, everybody was done. Braylon won with 12 points overall. I came in second with 8. Dylan came in at third with 7. And Bernard only had 4 points. So we all beat a Masters champion.
That is amazing. Well, you got more bragging rights. I mean, you had a heck of a 2 days, Jason. That sounds amazing.
Well, and then, you know, in me talking with you, things that I've been trying to do since the mishap of my deployment and
right,
everything,
right.
What I've been looking to try and purchase myself. Well, lo and behold, the PGA came through and shocked the crap out of me yesterday. I actually have a brand new set of Callaway Rogue irons, drivers, everything. in my bag.
I'm jealous. You're just rubbing it in. You got so many jealous people driving in their car, sitting and listening to you this rant right now, saying, man.
Well, I just can't wait to get out there with you now because I have some better clubs. I might be able to beat you for one.
Hey, we'll see. I was out at the driving range yesterday enjoying that 70-degree weather that we had yesterday, man. My game is I think it's tight and right. So we got to make it happen, Jason.
Man, it was beautiful down there. Hey, check out my Facebook page. You'll see all the pictures I posted, and you can look me up. PGA was asking me, hey, do you have a Twitter handle? And I'm like, well, no. Well, you might want to create one. We're going to put a bunch of stuff out there.
There we go. All right.
But go ahead and check me out, Sergeant Jason Fuller, on Twitter, and you can see some of the stuff they did, and there's a video. I'll text it to you so you can see the video.
All right. That sounds good, Jason. Heck of a 2 days, my man.
Have a great one.
Good chatting with you. All right. Line two. Do we still have Dave on line two? Ian, let's get to Dave before we bring on our special guest to close the hour. Dave, what's up, my man? Dave, are you there? Dave is not there. All right, so let's hit our second break. And when we come back, we will bring on a special guest to help break down the latest happenings in the NBA playoffs and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I tell you, time flies, doesn't it? Time flies when you're having fun, and we certainly have been chatting about a lot on today's Current Sports. And you know what? I did want to highlight two players when it comes to this Thursday's NFL draft. And you know what? One of those players is Saquon Barkley. And you know what? Thinking about it now, we only have about a little over 10 minutes left in the hour, because I really want to dive into the prospect that Saquon Barkley is. I read an amazing piece written by Ben Baskin of Sports Illustrated. Those who are watching the Facebook.com/WKAR news live stream, I'm holding up the latest issue of Sports Illustrated. It has Saquon Barkley on the front page, and it reads, the headline reads, "Why Should I Not Go Number One?" It was a fantastic profile, and I have a newfound respect for the athlete and the man that Saquon Barkley is. I'm going to comb through. If you haven't read it, it's an amazing read. I just love great journalism. Shout out to Ben Baskin. If you haven't read it, I'm going to get to that on tomorrow's Current Sports. It's so good, I don't want to shortchange it. I do not want to shortchange this article. So I'll get to that tomorrow. In the meantime, let's get to our special guest for today's Current Sports. And many of you who are longtime listeners to Current Sports, I probably blew it at the beginning of the hour. You guys know who I'm talking about, who has a close tie to the show, who is an NBA fanatic. That being none other than former Current Sports engineer and avid NBA aficionado, Isaac Constance, whose New Orleans Pelicans just made it look easy in the first round. Teams need to take some notes on what the New Orleans Pelicans did in that first round matchup, right? My goodness. Isaac Constance, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. New Orleans has to be so turned up right now. How you doing, my man?
It's a fun city right now. Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I was actually at Game 4, Alan. There was all sorts of energy in the air. New Orleans has never been a basketball town. It's always more of a football town. Of course, we've got our Saints, and even when they were the Aints, dropped the S off the front, the city got pretty excited about that. But New Orleans now evolving into a basketball town, and Anthony Davis, it's the same old, but Rajon Rondo, playoff Rondo is a real phenomenon, that's for sure. And Drew Holiday is finally getting the respect he deserves. But it's been fun, and I know you and I have been just salivating at the prospect of watching NBA basketball every night, no matter who's playing.
Oh, without a doubt. I'm glued to my TV. I'm losing sleep every single night, like much like yourself, Isaac, watching these games each and every night. It's basketball heaven for NBA fans, especially like you and I. But to talk about your Pelicans real briefly, could you look at Drew Holiday? And it was so amazing watching what he did against Portland, because I didn't know he was that good of a defender. I mean, he completely locked up Damian Lillard. And then you have this reemergence of Rajon Rondo. As you just noted, they're calling him Playoff Rondo. I don't know where this game has come from for him. And I think you can make a legit argument now. Don't get me wrong. I think LeBron James is still the king. But Anthony Davis right now, especially since the loss of DeMarcus Cousins in late January, January 28th, I believe, Anthony Davis has led the league in points, in blocks, and what he has been able to do on a nightly basis. Sometimes I'm sitting there saying, oh, my God. Goodness, this brother is playing on another level right now. Did you foresee this coming at all in this first round matchup, the way that New Orleans handled Portland? I mean, that had to shock you a bit, didn't it, Isaac?
It did. I picked New Orleans to win in six games, and that was wholly unbiased, or at least as much as I can be. You know, I love my Pelicans.
Right.
In any case, I did pick New Orleans because I like this matchup. What was so odd in the West is teams 3 through 8 were separated by a sum total of less than 2 games. So no matter who you got, it was all about matchups. New Orleans matched up well with Portland because Portland's got that great guard play. But inside, they're a little bit lackluster, whereas New Orleans, of course, can bang you inside because Anthony Davis just has all the makings of a future best player in the NBA-type caliber. Mm-hmm. And around the perimeter, New Orleans has some size too. Rajon Rondo has hands that are as big as a 7-footer. Drew Holiday with that physicality and length. I didn't see the defense that New Orleans was going to play coming. I love Drew Holiday. Playoff Rondo has better defense than regular season Rondo. But the thing is, the name I'm going to mention, this guy might be a head coach one day. He might not be, just because he looks like a high school math teacher. But Darren Erman is the architect of New Orleans defense, mm-hmm. and what he did was masterful. You double the guards after every single pick and roll, making them switch their strategy altogether. And Terry Stotts, who's a Coach of the Year candidate, was dumbstruck by it. He really didn't know what to do because their bread and butter was taken away like that off these fire doubles teams off of every single pick and roll. It totally eliminated the threat of Damian Lillard, who had 3 more assists than he did turnovers. That's shocking.
Wow.
And C.J. McCollum. So Drew, credit to him on the individual level. He should be all-defense first team, but it's also the strategy. And New Orleans, they're shaping up well in a game that has a cap, unfortunately, because you run into the West and you got the Titans of the Warriors and the Rockets, no matter who you come out against. But in any case, New Orleans against the Warriors next round probably doesn't go more than 5 or 6 games, but at the same time, enjoy it while it lasts, because with DeMarcus Cousins, this team is scary next year.
Oh, they are very scary, and watch out for the Pelicans for years to come. And apologies, I know we're having some, I don't know if it's your phone, Isaac, or if it's us here at Studio S, we're having some popping when it comes to the connection. So apologies to our listeners out there. We got about 5 minutes left here. So Isaac, I don't want to ask anything too specific here, because I do want to get your broad overview of what you've seen in the playoffs thus far. I actually text you this morning as we've been chatting about the whole Oklahoma City and Utah series that's going on, and Kevin Durant actually liked a comment from somebody who was basically critical of Russell Westbrook. And, you know, he was asked about it, and Durant said, look, I made a mistake. I didn't mean to do that. This is not a story here. But we all know Kevin Durant is a man, when rumors surfaced that Durant had several burner accounts on which he defended himself. I mean, come on, dude. So I don't know how much weight you can hold when Kevin Durant says, yeah, I did it on a mistake. I think it was on purpose. But what do you make of the whole situation going on with the OKC and Utah series?
I'll pick the Jazz in 6 minutes, because the All-Star break, the Jazz
have actually had the second best record in the entire league.
Right.
That goes unnoticed by most people, but these guys were a few games below the 500 mark, let alone in a playoff race. And they came surging back. Rudy Gobert is a heck of a defender, probably going to get the player of the year. And Donovan Mitchell, he reminds me of a young teammate. And Al, you know I hate D-Wade, but I've got so much respect for that guy. And Donovan Mitchell, the way he always plays downhill and then can pull up for a three, oh, it's unbelievable to see a rookie play that way. On the flip side, Billy Donovan's got to be on his last leg, because to play an NBA team and not know how to execute a pick and roll, that's disastrous. Russell Westbrook seems like he's almost with less direction than he was last year when he was just going at it by himself. Paul George still looking really like the Thunder's best option, but Carmelo Anthony, it's been this way for some time. I know you agree with me on this one. He's a cancer to a team. He doesn't play defense. He doesn't try. He settles for low percentage looks, and this Thunder experiment's about to blow up.
It is, and I think it already has blown up. I don't see how OKC can now come back from this. And as you mentioned, Rudy Gobert, my goodness. I mean, since he has come back from that injury, Utah has been on a complete roll. And Donovan Mitchell, my goodness, he's going to be good for years and years to come. So with that being said, as we have just 2 minutes left here, Isaac, have your picks that you picked at the very beginning of the season to meet in the NBA Finals, have they shifted or changed in any way?
I'm going to actually surprise some people here. I like the Houston Rockets to make it to the NBA Finals.
What?
I like the Cavs on the other side. But it's because, who scores 50 points in an NBA quarter? 50 points.
Right, it was amazing.
As impressively locks down the other team to 20. I like them in Golden State. Health has been a little bit rocky this year. I'm taking the Rockets.
Wow, that is shocking. We may have to put a lunch or something like that on that, because I'm still going with the Warriors. But yeah, when you look at that third quarter, I mean, my goodness. I mean, 51 points, that's actually, well, 50 points. That's actually the most since 51 points were scored in a playoff game when the LA Lakers did it back in 1961-62, that season. So amazing. So we'll talk more. We only got 30 seconds left, but Isaac, we'll be in touch, of course, throughout the NBA playoffs. It's so fun to watch him on a nightly basis. Try and get some sleep, my man, all right?
Well, there, you too, Al. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Isaac Constance, former current sports engineer and NBA aficionado. All right. Well, with 20 seconds left, I should say, we'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow as we now take a 23-hour break. I will comb through this SI piece centered on former Penn State running back Saquon Barkley. It's a must read. Until then, be easy, people.